Will you pray with me? Gracious God, great is thy faithfulness, even when again and again and again we abandon you. We appeal to you now and ask that you be moved with pity once again for us. Have compassion on us and touch our hearts this day, that we might follow your ways this day and forevermore. In Christ we pray. Amen. Last Sunday was All Saints Day. It was a really poignant day for many of us here as we remembered the lives of those who died, those recently in our lives, and even those long ago who made such a difference to us. It is always a poignant day. Long after the funeral is over and the personal effects are packed up, long after the thank you notes are written and the new normal starts to sink in, whatever normal feels like then, All Saints Day reminds us that we're invited to remember for a very long time, to remember the people that we've loved, to cherish the inheritance that they've left us. Now, you might wonder why it matters so much. I think because forgetting doesn't just dishonor them, though it does. Forgetting also weakens us. Sadly, that's what happened when the Israelites settled into the Promised Land, as we just heard. They forgot what generations before them had learned. The generation the Lord brought out of slavery in Egypt, the ones that the Lord fed for 40 years in the wilderness, the ones Joshua led across the Jordan River, when they all passed away, their memories died with them. This new generation in the Promised Land, they never knew hardship. They never knew fear. They only knew their own comfort and security and self-sufficiency. They forgot what their ancestors learned the hard way. They forgot to depend on God. And it's easy to forget. I think of what people endured in the Great Depression and World War II. People my father's age, they learned the hard way that the only way they'd make it would be to stick together and to lean on God for strength. But by the time we got to the 21st century, we'd forgotten. We'd forgotten how to stick together, and we'd forgotten how to lean on God for strength. Like the Israelites in the Promised Land, we'd gone after other gods like money and fame and power. But when 9/11 hit, and then the Great Recession 7 years later, it's as if we came to our senses again and discovered for ourselves how to stick together and how to lean on God for strength. Today's lesson reminds us that God will always be there for us in our need. God will always raise up judges, raise up leaders, even when we abandon God. And God will provide leaders in our own community. Today we're going to hear a few of the stories from the book of Judges. There are about a dozen judges in Scripture, but we'll hear from four of them today. We'll hear about how whenever the nation abandoned God and was overwhelmed by enemies from without or undone by failings from within, always God raised up a judge and God spoke a message to the people. As we hear these stories of the judges shared by a few wonderful members of our congregation, I invite us not just to listen to the word back in the old day in the time of the Israelites, but to take their message in for today. I invite us to imagine our own circumstances and our own community's needs. In our community and in our world, what kind of leaders do we need? In our own community, in our world, in politics, in business, in family life, and more, what kind of leaders do we pray that the Lord will raise up for us in our midst? And what kind of leadership might God be asking of us, of you? Listen for the word of God as it comes to us from various places in the book of Judges and 1 Samuel, as we hear first from the judge Deborah.
My name is Deborah. It was very unusual that a woman would be a judge at all, let alone one of the first judges. But when the Canaanites came up against our people and they brutalized us for 20 years, God heard their cries and he raised me up to lead them. Of course, I could not say no to God. So what did it mean for me to judge? For a long time, it meant serving as a counselor and a mediator. I used to sit under the palm tree along the road in the hill country, and people would come and ask for my judgment about their personal struggles, about their business conflicts, and even about their suffering. But it became clear to me that all of the wisdom in the world wouldn't matter if we were still living in oppression. So I summoned a warrior named Barak and told him to take 10,000 men to defeat the Canaanites. Barak refused to go unless I went with him, with my wisdom and authority. So I went. Together, we prepared the troops, and when the day came, the Lord threw the enemies into a panic. Afterwards, we all sang a victorious song. In spite of the insignificance of women in our time, God used me. Let us never forget, in spite of any of our insignificance, God can use us.
We know what a difference women like Deborah, men like Deborah, insignificant people like Deborah can make today. I think of Malala, as insignificant as they get, who rose up anyway, who rose up against the Taliban in Pakistan, of all things, and made the education of girls a reality again. But I suspect that we rarely think of our own potential as leaders. Maybe out of genuine humility, maybe out of the overwhelming needs of the world, maybe out of our preoccupation with other things, for whatever reason, we don't think of ourselves as leaders. We don't recognize that we might be called to make an enormous difference. We forget that sometimes it's not even our own power that matters, but our role in inspiring other people. Like Deborah choosing Barak and accompanying him even into battle, sometimes what we're called to do is to draw out other people's gifts and back them when they waver and accompany them on their way. And I wonder how God might be calling you, might be calling you to lead or to call out other leaders. Deborah was one of the first judges in ancient Israel, but she wasn't the last. After Deborah died, the people abandoned God, and soon the Israelites were under attack again, this time by the Midianites. So the Israelites cried out to the Lord again, and though God was exasperated by their faithlessness, again, God raised up a judge. And the judge spoke God's message to the people. Let's hear from Gideon.
My name is Gideon. When the angel came saying, "The Lord is with you," My first reaction was to argue, if the Lord is with us, why are we suffering? And where are God's wonderful deeds that our ancestors told us about? But the angel argued back, well, in fact, you're the one God is commissioning to rout the enemy, but I didn't trust God. Three times, I pressed the angel for a sign, something to convince me that I wasn't just dreaming this up, something to convince me that the Lord was truly with me. Three times I pressed for a sign, and three times a sign was given. So when the Lord called me to go to my father's house and tear down his altar to the pagan god Baal and build an altar to the Lord in his place and sacrifice my father's own young bull on the new altar, well, I did it. I was so afraid of my family and my townspeople that I couldn't bring myself to do it in the daytime. Instead, I snuck in by night, but I did what the Lord commanded, in spite of my fears. In the morning, I prepared for the worst. I will never forget that day. The Spirit of the Lord took over, and the whole people stood with me, even my father. And we prepared for battle against the Midianites. Then God gave me one more sign. God told me there were too many troops of my army. Instead of 30,000 troops, God had me put just 300 troops in the field. With just 300 men, we went up against the Midianites and blew our trumpets against them, and their army fell before our very eyes. In spite of my fear and distrust, God used me. In spite of all our fear and distrust, God can use us.
We know what a difference leaders like Gideon make, don't we? Leaders who move beyond their fear. Leaders who stand up for what's right, even when it means confronting their own tribe, their own loved ones. Gideon stood up against his father for his unfaithfulness. And we also know the damage that can be done when people don't confront those close to them. How different things might have been if Lieutenant Glinowitz's colleagues and family had called him out on his wrongdoings. How different things might have been for the thousands of investors if Bernie Madoff's family and friends had torn out his altars to the almighty dollar. And it makes me wonder, have you ever been called to be a truth teller to the people you love? One of the scariest moments in my life was when my sister and I drummed up the courage to speak to our mom about her alcohol abuse. We were terrified of hurting her, and we had no idea whether it would work. But we knew we had to try, and we were dearly blessed by God's grace. But it makes me wonder how God might be calling you, how God might be needing you to speak the truth to those you love, how God might be needing you to speak in spite of your very real fears. Gideon was among the judges who had to confront those closest to him in spite of his fear. But there were other judges too, because as soon as Gideon died, the people abandoned God. And the people fell into the hands of the Philistines for 40 years until the Israelites begged God again. And God raised up a judge, and the judge spoke God's message to the people.
My name is Samson. I wasn't even supposed to be born. My mother was barren. But an angel told her she would conceive and bear a son, and he would save her people from their enemies. So when I was born, she dedicated me to God as a Nazirite, one whose hair would never be cut. A special strength came with that dedication. When a lion attacked, I killed it with my bare hands. When I was thirsty, God cracked open a rock and water poured out. And when the enemy Philistines rose up against us, God raised me up, and our enemy fell at our feet. But I made a mistake. I fell. I fell for a woman named Delilah. She pestered me for the secret of my strength. I resisted. But when she accused me of not loving her, she broke my heart. So I told her my secret. I'm a Nazirite, dedicated to God from birth. A razor has never come near my head. If my head were shaved, then my strength would leave me. And Delilah, she betrayed me. She sold me into the hands of my enemy. When I fell asleep in her lap, Delilah had my head shaved, and immediately my strength began to leave me. That very night, the Philistines seized me and gouged out my eyes and hurled me in prison. But hair grows back, doesn't it? So when the Philistines gathered for a party for the pagan god, and they called on me to entertain them, to mock me in front of the crowds. But the joke was on them. I prayed with all my might, "Lord God, remember me and strengthen me only this once, O God." Then I grasped the two pillars where I was standing, and I leaned my weight against them and strained with all my might, and the house came down around them. The house of the Philistines fell. In spite of my weakness, God made me strong. No matter how weak we are, God can make us strong to work for the Lord.
We know what difference leaders like Samson can make. Leaders dedicated to the Lord, and in spite of their weakness, people who are used by God in amazing ways. I think of the Reverend Mike Neveling, who was pastor at the Village Church in Northbrook, but had to retire because of his cancer. He and his wife Linda worship with us now, blessing us with their faithfulness and courage. I think of Phil Haltom, whose story I've told before, who left the pastorate after misconduct, but whose profound and humble process of redemption has blessed countless others. And it's not just clergy by any stretch of the imagination. It's all of us who have committed ourselves to God's purposes and who end up falling short of our heartfelt aspirations. But here's the thing. Sometimes it's precisely in our weakness that God can use us most. As St. Paul later writes, "In my weakness, the power of Christ will dwell in me." And it makes me wonder how God might be calling you. How God might be calling you not in the midst of your strength or your power or your success or your achievement, but how God might be calling you to use you in your weakness. One last story. After Samson, the people abandoned God. But God was not through with them yet and raised up a judge again to bring God's message to the people.
My name is Samuel. I too was born of a mother who was barren. Her name was Hannah. One day, she went to the temple to pray. She prayed so fervently, the priest thought she was drunk, but she wasn't. She was pouring out her soul before the Lord. So the priest blessed her. And soon after, she conceived. And here I am. My mother was so grateful to God that when I was little, she brought me back to the priest, a man named Eli, and dedicated me to the service of the Lord and left me there to serve him. She used to make me a little robe and bring it to me every year. Eli was old by then, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days, and visions were not widespread. One night, when I was sleeping, I heard a voice say, "Samuel, Samuel." I called back, "Here I am." And I ran to Eli to ask him what he needed. But Eli said, "I did not call. Lie down again." Then I heard the voice again, calling, "Samuel." And I went to Eli and said, "Here I am." But he said, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." And I heard the voice a third time. And I went to Eli and said, "Here I am." Then Eli understood that the Lord was calling me. And Eli told me, "Go, lie down. And if he calls you again, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So I lay down again. And the Lord came and stood there, calling, "Samuel, Samuel." And I said, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." So I lay down again. But the people were sinning, and I was to call them back to faith. When I grow up, I know the Lord will be with me, and I know what the Lord will want me to tell the people. The Lord will want me to ask them to return to Him, to return to God with all their heart, and lead them from straying. The Lord wants their hearts again, for the people to serve only the Lord. And as they gather, I will judge them and bless them, and I will raise a stone at the holy place, and I will name the stone Ebenezer, which means, "Thus far the Lord has helped us." How can I be so sure? It is only because of my mother's faithfulness and Eli's guidance and courage that I am sure. I learned from them. I'm still learning from them. And this is what I know for sure. We can all learn from those who paved our way in faith.
We know what difference young leaders like Samuel can make who inspire us in their youth. Just as we know what difference leaders like Deborah can make in their insignificance, and leaders like Gideon can make in their fear, and leaders like Samson can make in their weakness. How do we know? We know because in God's hands, any of us can be leaders. It's not a matter of age. It's not a matter of power. It's not a matter even of ability. In God's hands, any one of us can be blessed to be a blessing, because it's not about us. It's not about us. It's about the work that God needs to be done, the work of justice and kindness, the work of truth-telling and love, the work of calling one another to faithfulness, the work of calling one another to belong to God alone. I don't know what your particular calling is, but I am absolutely sure of this. God needs you and your gifts to make this world a better place. As it was in the time of the judges, so it is now. May you hear God's call to you to raise up and bring God's message to God's beloved world. Amen.